Welcome to The Squeal, PIC's Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. Today, we've assembled several decades of expertise to discuss priorities in pig nutrition for a three-part series. Joining us for this first episode, a review of income over total cost, is K-State's Dr. Mike Tokash.
Mike Tokash, I'm a professor and swine nutritionist at Kansas State University.
And PIC's Wayne Cast and Dr. Weasley Orlando.
Wayne Cast, I do swine nutrition.
Weasley Orlando, I'm also doing swine nutrition here in PIC, leading the nutrition team.
How many years of experience do we have at the PIC table here?
Since a customer, I would say I'm the youngest guy here, probably 18 years.
18?
I'm 4 years in the PIC, but 18 years in this industry.
Okay, and Wayne?
35 or 40, somewhere in there.
And Mike, I think I've been talking to you 35 or 40, haven't I?
I've been at the university here about 28 years, and I've been at Kansas State most of my career, or my entire career, I should say.
Very good.
28 years, wow.
Mike, those 28 years, did they start when you were 18?
No. I was after I finished my PhD up, and so I had a few years of experience there, obviously, going through school and the learning process.
I've got a definition that I'm not sure on. IOTC, I mean, I would say IOT is Internet of Things, but that doesn't fit. C doesn't fit with a swine thing. What is IOTC?
Wayne, do you want to?
IOTC. Income over total costs.
Okay.
That's actually one concept that mostly guys here in North America works, but worldwide it is not common to people being a way that they use it. I mean, formulating diets based on an income over total cost. Mostly guys that work with economic standpoint, they focus on least cost per kilo or per ton of diet or least cost per kilo of gain. And of course, the second one, they think that there's the best way to do the least cost per kilo of gain. But, and we know here in North America, works focus in income over feed cost or income over feed cost and facility or income over feed cost. Total cost, because this is more close to the revenue, the profitability, because that takes not only in consideration cost, but they take a revenue throughput, actually, because they consider if you get in a market price and then a strong market price, there is no reason to formulate with a least cost, because least cost does not represent the maximum revenue.
Mike, in your experience at K-State, talk about the KPIs that you are asked about most frequently. What are those ones that are at the top of the list in general?
Well, Weasley's exactly right, is the income over total cost, or a lot of times in our experiments we'll look at it as income over feed cost, because the rest of the costs are relatively constant in many of the situations, but not all the time. But that certainly is the most important one. Feed cost per kilogram or per pound of gain is a very important metric, but you do need to be careful with it, because the impact that the diet has on growth rate isn't taken into account when you look only at the feed cost per kilogram of gain. And the other metrics that you know obviously feed into this, feed efficiency and caloric efficiency are very important ones in terms of driving a measure for what we have on the feeding program. But again, those are only sub pieces of it. Feed efficiency by itself is very misleading, because it doesn't take into account the energy density of the diet. Caloric efficiency gets you closer to it, but again, caloric efficiency, you can have excellent caloric efficiency but not have a high enough growth rate to maximize your income over feed cost.
And probably where the most dramatic spot that you see that sometimes, Mike, is in a nursery trial, where your cost per pound of gain is the cheapest, but the pigs perform so poorly that nobody would do that.
That's exactly right, and that's a good point. Is the nursery is where you can really drive that cost down and have an extremely low cost in the nursery, but with pretty poor performance at times. And yeah, you definitely want to take both of them into account.
When we do this, when we look at the nutritional aspect, and especially as related to cost of the operation, do different elements of your operation, seems like there would be different segments most interested in some of the measurement tools and others interested in others, whereas you as the top management team, you're the one that's really looking at the bottom line of these cost versus total cost. That's what the top management looks at. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say energy is the biggest part of the cost of a ton of feed. But if, let's say, Mike or Weasley was working with a customer that had a new research barn, they probably wouldn't do the energy trial first, even though that's their biggest cost. They probably need to figure out their amino acid needs first. And then, because if you don't feed enough amino acids, they won't respond to the energy the way you would like. And so even though energy is the biggest cost, probably figuring out your pig's amino acid needs is probably next. It needs to be done first.
Any comments, Mike?
Yeah, Wayne's exactly right. Is energy is the biggest cost, but it's everything, and everything's driven off of what the energy density that you set in the diet. And it's probably the most difficult thing for people to determine is exactly what the best energy density for their diet is. But once you do the energy density, the amino acids are based on that energy, based on a lysine or amino acid to calorie ratio. The phosphorus is based off of that. Then the calcium is based off the phosphorus. And so everything really kind of flows once you and steps off of that energy density. But Wayne's right, is you need to make sure that you – that if you're looking at the energy density diet, that you don't short the pigs on the amino acids, or you won't get the full response to the energy that the pigs are capable of.
And then the other, Mike, I guess the other part about energy, that different people get different responses to it. And so, and I don't think some are right and some are wrong. I think it maybe is more system dependent, like the type of feeder, the amount of feeder space, the pan coverage. You know, everybody seems to get the feed efficiency response, but the gain response, my opinion, is the gain response is much more variable. Do you see that too?
Yes, and I think that gain response, we've seen some changes over time, and it really, where you're talking about in terms of the feeder space and the access to feed, it was all driven by what the pig's actual feed intake is relative to their protein deposition and what they're capable of. And when we're dealing with PIC pigs that have very high protein deposition capabilities, And now the feed intake is really increasing in the field. We used to say that the pig could never eat enough feed to meet its energy needs because intake was relatively low on the pigs out in the field as compared to what we'd run into a university setting, as an example. But now we have lots of situations where the pigs in the field consume pretty high levels of feed intake. And when we get into those situations, sometimes when we add extra energy, we don't get a very big response in growth rate or any response at all. And so it's very important to know what that gain response is to the range of energy densities that are economical for a production system, which obviously, again, that varies around the world on what the energy range that you're actually capable of reaching because of the ingredients you have available.
Yeah. And actually, from the PAC standpoint, the way that we select animals today is different than we selected 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I mean, if you're thinking about the 2006 to 2013, we have when price of raw materials risen, escalating by the ethanol industry. So what happened in 2014 in the PAC, we changed the way to select the boars and test. Okay, we move from fixed weight to fixed time. And with that, we pressure much more in growth. And also, as Dr. Tokash and Wayne said, I mean, the intake today is different than the past. And before, we select animals that eat less over the time. And today, they are eating more than the past. I would say that the most factor to contribute to improve feed efficiency is growth. But yeah, Dr. Tokash is right. I mean, we are selecting animals that eat more today than compared to the past. And yeah, that's the reason that probably with the energy trial today is not the same response for the past. I mean, we used to say that, oh, it's linear. Today was probably more quadratic effect. And again, Wayne's point, back to the Wayne's comment, the question is still the same.
The answers are different. And then the other part about this energy thing that makes it pretty important is that one way to manipulate your energy is the use of fat. And fat will seldom pay for itself with feed efficiency alone. Maybe in North Carolina where their fat's cheaper and the corn's a hell of a lot higher. But most, and some parts of the world, but not in the Midwest, typically you're going to have to get a gain response for fat to be a good buy.
Yeah, and when you go around the world, you kind of run into, you know, the other side of it is the other ingredients and that may pull in and replace corn in the diet. And when you run into those situations, you know, we would often not think of in the Midwest U.S. as an example that barley or some of the lower energy ingredients would make sense economically because they rarely ever do for us. But when you get into Europe or many times barley is quite a good purchase, or you get into Canada that energy density and driving it below a corn soy energy density sometimes will make a lot of sense, especially if, again, you have pigs that consume a lot of feed.
Yeah. But, and then the other part of this energy thing, Mike, is for us to get all the energy out of the feedstuffs that we have. And so you guys have done all that nice work on particle size and grind, you know. So you can, if you change the grind on your corn by 100 microns, you're probably going to change your feed efficiency as much as adding 10 pounds of fat.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about a 1% improvement in feed efficiency for every 100 micron reduction in particle size. And with finishing pigs, taking it down all the way down to about 300 microns, it's pretty linear in terms of the improvement in feed efficiency. There is some data, a really good data set out of Brazil that suggesting that we at least get that linearity down to around 500 microns, and it may not be quite as linear as you go below 500, but you still get some level of improvement in finishing pigs. Nursery pigs, it doesn't quite work that way. It appears that we don't get much benefit below 500 or 550 microns on a nursery pig on feed efficiency. And the other aspect we have is we reduce growth rate because they don't like to eat the real fine powder on the nursery side. But you're exactly right. Processing is quite important.
And then, because 10 pounds of fat's going to cost you $2.50. And Chad Polk told me you could grind it 100 microns finer for 10 cents a ton.
Yes.
Yeah. So even though I went to the University of Nebraska, I'm pretty sure that 10 cents is less than $2.50.
Yeah, it'll definitely pay for itself.
Same questions, different answers. So, nutrition, swine nutrition today, given the variables, is it an art or a science? I mean, Mike said, hey, if I adjust this, it will affect that, that will affect that. You can see the numbers tumble on a spreadsheet. But given the breadth of materials we have to work with, and the different environments in which it's being used.
Yeah, I would say that this probably, Mike is the best guy to answer this question since he's in the academy today, but let's say my thought based on my, let's say, 15 years working in this industry, right, in another country as well. So I would say that the academy, the university, teach us to formulate diet. They teach us least cost. They teach us about physiology, about biochemistry, and we became actual nutritionists as, let's say, as learn, right? But if I have to answer your question, art or science, I would say that probably is a mix of those, because we start to learn about production, we start to learn that biochemistry and nutrition or physiology is still the same, but there's a lot of points to be talking about nutrition. I mean, both of these points over here. I mean, okay, I'm ready to formulate the diet, but what is my focus? Optimize performance? It's mitigate cost or maximize my profitability? And I'm pretty sure, with some exceptions, mostly universities teach us only to do the biological side, not the economical side. Okay, so I would say that today it's a mix of both art and science, don't you think, Wayne?
Oh yeah, I think yeah. I was just thinking, okay, so when I first started doing nutrition, we talked about crude protein levels and quality of proteins, you know, amino acid patterns and that. And then we went to formulating diets on a total amino acid basis. And then we went to formulating diets on a digestible amino acid basis. And so there's been more and more science every year, but I still think there's a fair amount of art involved. But hopefully, you know, that we're going to learn more and more and more, and there's going to be more facts and less opinion in swine nutrition.
Mike, can you teach art to up-and-coming students, up-and-coming nutritionists?
Well, I think that Weasley and Wayne explained it pretty good. I really think that the science is pretty strong in terms of, we know the an awful lot about the nutrition side on the pig. Where the art comes in for me is understanding which of those the knowledge that we have it needs to be applied in what situations and at what level. There's some of the details that we know that we can you know, formulate down to a fine tooth comb, I mean, to some very, you know, minuscule numbers, but the pig doesn't care. And so there's some of these things that's for me, that's a lot where the art comes in, is understanding the science enough that you know when to apply it and when not to apply it. And there's times that you've got to use your knowledge, your experience to say, no, the science says that I should be using this particular ingredient at this level, but I know that there are more problems with that ingredient because of the quality of it or what it's going to do to the feed mill in terms of processing and how much longer it's going to make their day. And so there's a lot of the art that or the background things that you need to understand in order to apply the science.
See, maybe an example of that, Mike, is, okay, so on formulas, we might have a crude protein minimum, and we know the pig doesn't need that. Or we might have a max on crystalline lysine, or we might put a max on distillers. And all of those are probably addressing parts of nutrition we don't understand, whether it's this leucine, lysine, isoleucine, valine antagonism with the branched-chain amino acids or something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think the science, the more science, the art becomes smaller.
Yeah, and it all depends on how you look at this question too, because the examples that you're giving, Wayne, are great ones, but you can argue that the science has told us that we need to be careful there, and so we're just figuring out a way to do it in the formulation until we gain more knowledge to do it better.
The topic is Priorities in Pig Nutrition. Today, part one of a three-part series with Drs. Mike Tokash and Weasley Orlando, along with Wayne Cast. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.